calls are growing for South Auckland to be vaccinated as a priority. It is an area which typically has larger families and many residents who work at the border, airport or in quarantine roles. Director of Auckland University's Immunisation Centre, Dr. Nikki Turner, joins us now. Good morning.
Morena.
What's your view on this and as we work through this strategy for rolling out the vaccine? Should a region like South Auckland get top billing?
Well, firstly, I appreciate everybody's fears and panics. We all have it. I'm a frontline provider too, so I share that fear. But secondly, put this in the context of the international issue. New Zealand now does have vaccine supplies, and they're coming in regularly, but they are not large supplies. Our current strategy to protect border MIQ staff and their families, we're expecting and hoping to see that will reduce the risk of exposure and the virus coming into New Zealand. So this is a really important strategy. As New Zealand is able to get larger supplies of vaccine, then the question comes, what's the best strategy? That really depends. If we can keep this virus out of our community, then yes, we should consider rolling out from where the highest risk is, which is currently at the borders and at the MIQs. So most countries in the world are focused on protecting the highest risk. Usually that's elderly and people with significant problems that make them more vulnerable. It may well be New Zealand needs a mix of both of these strategies as we roll out. We need to do this carefully and thoughtfully to protect where we're most likely to see the virus, but also protecting our population at the same time, who, if we did see the virus, are most at risk.
Yes, I mean, should the focus not be on those who might be at risk of going to hospital? Though the severe illness is where the priority goes.
Yes, this is the tension. So in most countries in the world where this virus is just rampaging, you just use the vaccine as rapidly as you can to protect those who are at highest risk. So we will know that most countries, you know, use it particularly for the very elderly and people with fragile medical systems. New Zealand needs a bit more of a mixed model because we want to protect our people from the virus crossing the borders and getting into our community. So really, we need a bit of a both of these approaches to look really hard at where the virus is coming from as well.
So is the main argument around South Auckland just the fact that it is located so close to the airport and the border, a lot of people work at the border, that would just be an extra line of defence, or is it that it also has groups with high risk?
Yes, correct. It's both of those issues. So all the areas where we've got borders and MIQs are currently in New Zealand at biggest risk. And then South Auckland has got, you know, a large, dense population, crowded housing, people in challenging situations, high Māori and Pacifica populations who are often at much higher risk. Both of those issues we need to put into the consideration as and when we get good and larger supplies of vaccine.
What's your sense about the timing? Is it just taking too long here? And should there be any consideration to just giving one dose to as many people as possible and waiting the longer period for the second dose as they have in the UK?
I think there's two different questions there. Firstly, the timing is an extraordinary one. Look at the rest of the world. New Zealand is not an emergency situation with people dying in droves. So New Zealand's timing has been really, really positive in that we have not been the first cab off the rack. We now have 2 to 3 months data, extensive data on the safety and the effectiveness profile of this vaccine. We now can roll out a considered, thoughtful program. While we're not in an emergency, there's probably not a rush to consider one or two doses, but it certainly can and should be on the table if we do get virus into our community and it starts spreading.
Right, so that would be an emergency sort of response. If we had an outbreak, a serious outbreak, we could be nimble enough to say, OK, we'll just go with one dose for now to protect.
Well, also, the data's accumulating day by day, and this is really early data about the effectiveness of one dose. It's certainly worth considering. There are vaccines that are considering suggesting that you can license in one dose. So this is on the table, and we need to keep reviewing it. At this stage, it's absolutely vital that we continue to offer all the protection we can. Currently, a two-dose regime is recommended for the border and the MIQ staff and their families. They're the ones currently at highest risk of exposure.
In terms of the vaccine rollout, and particularly when we get to the wider public, do you think it is important to have the likes of Jacinda Ardern, Ashley Bloomfield out front on cameras being vaccinated?
Yeah, I think, well, firstly, I don't think anybody should jump the prioritisation list. I think people should be vaccinated in the order of priority, regardless of whoever they are. But I think New Zealand is and continues to lead the way, I hope, in our ability to work together as a country. We didn't rush this vaccine. We have seen how it's worked internationally. We can now, as a country, work together. There's really quite complicated issues of who should be offered the vaccine first, what strategy is the most effective. So far, Dr. Bloomfield, Jacinda Ardern, our country has fronted that really well. We need to keep that dialogue going. There's lots of international issues still unknown about these vaccines. We don't know how long they're going to last. The science is coming in fast. What we can say today is the vaccine we have in New Zealand has got huge now international data on both its safety and its effectiveness. So it's great that we were not the first cab off the rank. We can be really reassured at this step in the vaccine we've got.
And how would you go about the information rollout and getting to those who are hesitant? What sort of a public relations campaign needs to be used here? And I come back to the point about Jacinda Ardern and those helping build confidence. I mean, how much effort has to really go in to make sure that it reaches those people who are hesitant?
Yeah, well, I think the point is here that we want, as a community, to work together as a community. And it's not, the answer's not going to come from one person and one linear approach, that all our communities need these conversations at all different levels. Our healthcare sector needs to be informed so that they can take the conversations out to their communities, our community senior groups, our leaders in all our different communities need to take the conversations in their own way. You know, we can feed the science, we can feed the knowledge and the data, but we need to be able to communicate, and we need to hear back people's fears so that the communication is responding appropriately to people's appropriate fears.
And in terms of countering misinformation, I mean, there are Facebook groups in New Zealand with people, reasonably large groups that have people that are highly skeptical and concerned about the vaccine. Do you need to actively be countering some of those views?
Yes, definitely. But you have to do it carefully, because sometimes if you repeat myths, you just create more myths. So one of the responses out there is to get out and, instead of responding to a whole pile of stuff that's not correct, is to say, here's what we do know today. And we can say today, we know the effectiveness data on this vaccine in multi-millions of doses. We know the safety data. We can be really confident and then go out there and respond to concerns. The issue of social media magnification is an international issue that we all have to address and consider. You know, when do you think it's appropriate to block information that's just plain wrong? And when does it get into difficulties that you're actually blocking people's right to have conversations? There's a bit of a grey line between those two things.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, we had the Australian woman who refused to be swabbed. I know it's not necessarily your area, and the MIQ spent 28 days there. There were some who questioned whether, in fact, the media should have given that particular case the prominence it did, because it may have just reinforced some factual information that was wrong.
Yes, I think, I mean, there is a responsibility for everyone in our community and the media as much as anybody else. We do know now that when you repeat something that's wrong, even if you then say it's wrong, it's the repetition of the issue that gets stuck in everybody's minds. So it is how we package and communicate our stories. While being honest, it's also how we communicate it. So this is a challenge for everyone internationally.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you get situations like, the Pfizer vaccine, AstraZeneca, I should say, which there were some question marks about whether it worked for those over 65. Now, it may just be that the data is not in, but some people will seize on that.
Yes, that's right. So you have to be very careful when it's lack of data, we're still waiting, versus we know this doesn't work. They're two very different issues, but they definitely get mixed up in our minds very easily.
Dr. Nikki Turner, thank you very much for that. Director of Auckland University's Immunisation Centre.